Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, after a month-long journey across the pond, is Mork.
It's great to be back.
Mork!
Thanks for remembering my name.
I was looking at Catfish and seeing you, and to be honest, I couldn't remember your name. It'd been so long since I saw you.
What do you mean?
It was like when you go, oh, that guy, when we're watching the episode. It's hard to remember certain things when you haven't been, when you've been busy battling Sturgoy.
Sure.
It's real tough. And I've been gone too.
Yeah. Where were you? Where were you, Bubba?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you seen any Sturgoy in the great country of Ireland?
Not yet, but.
No, the answer is no, thank you. And so where's my thanks? Why isn't F thanking me for keeping the Emerald Isle? St. Patrick kept the snakes out of Ireland. St. Bubba kept the Sturgoy out.
I think you should be expecting something in the mail very, very soon from Dr. F.
Excellent. From Dr. F. Well, you know, if you get close to F, you get F'd. With us, who's been the super wonderful fill-in host these last... The backbone of the Got Your Milk podcast
these last
2 weeks has been our super sub, our Sturgoy-free host. It's Catfish. Catfish, what's it been like to be free of Mork and I all these weeks?
Well, the pressure's really been on me. The one who has to pay attention to what's going on in the show. I really just like... just having you recap it, and then I come up with the bullshit, stupid ideas that I have and thoughts on the show.
Oh no, but you still have bullshit, stupid ideas, Catfish.
No, I know. That's why I had to both say what was on the show and remember the names, and then also come up with bullshit ideas.
I think it was extra bullshit. So. I was a big fan. Thanks, Catfish. You're the best.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you listened while you were away and that you watched.
And why wouldn't I?
Yes. Mork, you're going to have to man up and grab that mic. This, not turning the mic towards yourself, is not going to cut it, okay? I'm just telling
Done.
You now. Okay, good. All
right. Good thing I just saw Straight Outta Compton.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
Go see it. It's great.
Now, you may have seen that, but we all just saw Identity.
Ooh.
The latest episode of season 2 of The Strain. And guys, what do you think identity means?
Oh, God. Who are we? Who am I? What are we? I mean, it's
Mork,
questions.
You may have lost this part of it. It was implied in relation to The Strain.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know the favorite answer of Mork.
All right,
Catfish,
I will say
it.
This. Having been responsible for knowing things the last 2 weeks,
sure.
The answer to this is twofold.
That's more than one.
Yes. The first thing is F is trying to go along with a different identity.
F? Who's F? you don't mean John, do you?
No, I do. I mean John Crowley, known as Ephraim.
Ooh, that was good. F?
That's F.
Okay.
But more important than that...
Yeah,
we have an identity crisis by poor man's Christoph Waltz. Ooh. Because we have a new identity for the master, and that is Bolivar.
Ooh, wow! That is way
Mork,
to break it down.
Listen, and learn.
I am listening and learning.
One of those two things might be happening. All right, guys, it is time to give our rating out of 10. How many UV lights? How many worms? What are you going to give this episode, Identity of FX's The Strain? Mork, you haven't seen the show in a long time. You must be impressed.
Bite your tongue.
You haven't seen the show in a long time. You must be impressed by this incredible uptick in quality.
You have
idea. Let's hear your rating out of 10.
I couldn't tell you how much better this episode was than the last few weeks.
Oh, dear
but
God.
And you literally mean you couldn't tell us.
Well, look, guys, I would say this is this episode, Identity, I'd give it 7 hard former members of Bolivar.
Why, Mork? Go further. So 7, so that sounds relatively positive. What'd you like about it? Why did it earn a 7?
Well, I like that there was a lot going on. I like that we got to hang out in D.C. and Corey Stoll did not get killed in a car this time.
Oh.
And I like the National Guard. I like that angle. I like the new Sturgoy Alpha Rainbow Double Quad Helicopter 7?
We've returned to him as Strigoi Team 8, but you don't need to carry that on if you
okay,
don't want.
No, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. So, yeah, and I like the creepy blind children. I like Kelly coming back. A lot going on. I did not like the creepy Nora Zach moment. And, yeah.
All right, Catfish, let's hear your rating out of 10.
Well, mine is kind of a coincidence because it's the same number of episodes that Fitzwilliam has appeared in this season, and that is 3.
So you're giving it 3 out of 10.
And part of it is because of the Fitzwilliam. This is the second time this season we've set something up.
Right.
We have a group or a person that's important.
Sure.
And then they just get knocked off willy-nilly. After Strigoi Team 6, Fitzwilliam was brought back,
right.
I guess, all that time. I mean, we didn't spend a lot of time with him. But we spent enough time with him that that he should have stuck around longer than this. It seemed extremely pointless to bring him back.
Is it at all possible that Fitzwilliams isn't the actor on another TV show? Maybe he was just here to set up his brother taking over his role.
He is on Dark Matter, a show on Sci-Fi on Fridays, and he's a regular on that. So it's possible, since he was just a guest star this season, they said, okay, we'll bring you in. And then at a certain point he said, too bad, because I got a permanent job.
That's cold. That's cold, Fitzwilliam. That's cold.
Okay, well, I am always the toughest critic. Everybody knows that when it comes to holding the strain accountable, there's no one who strains more than me. And so I'm going to give this 2 double D's out of 10.
Double D's?
Yeah, delivery deaths. So they were delivering food and 2 people died. And so 2 out of 2.
Okay, all right, now hold on now. Okay,
now that was confused.
Now is it 2 out of 2 or is it 2 out of 10?
I'm the toughest critic.
But there's doubles.
No, but
right.
Also he said 2 out of 2.
Well, that
is it on a scale
good.
Of 2?
Because
2 on a scale of 2 is as good as almost as good as you can get.
But if you have 2 doubles, then it's 4 out of 2.
Because you could go 2.2, which is
right.
Giving 110%.
Yeah, ooh.
That's what I expect.
That's what I got. From that delivery scene, I was real worried that they wouldn't make a tip. And so the fact that they made some money in this...
Oh, they made some tips.
Right. All right, so guys, let's go ahead. We're going to give away our spilt milk scene and our non-spoilt milk scene, our favorite scene, a.k.a. our UV light of a scene in our spoiled milk scene. Does anybody want to jump in with maybe a favorite scene that really... really brought the episode up into light and really, really was tense, exciting action.
I like whenever we see the spider kids. This is the kind of thing that
right.
we hope to have on this show. There's 2 things that I like, and again, I'm going to talk about my favorite episode of the season, the couple episodes ago, the one that had Angel in it, and mm-hmm. I like the mix of both exciting / scary and also some stuff that's a little bit fun and ridiculous, and the spider kids always bring the creepy to me.
Okay, that was a great UV light of a scene. How about you, Mork? What scene really did you love as we went through this?
Oh my goodness. I gotta say, I really enjoyed Strigoi Team 8 dressing down the old folks.
The ancient ones.
The ancient ones.
Right. No.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. It was fun to sort of imagine their side of the conversation.
Right.
Always fun to look at them. And that was real high on my list.
Okay, now Catfish, you were mentioning a scene with the little blind kids. They are tense, they are exciting. But my UV light of a scene, it was even more tense. You know, the edge...
Nothing could be more tense.
You would think not, but
nothing.
Even the edge of your seat, more intensement. And can you guess what it is?
I'm on the edge of my seat right now, wanting to know what put you on the edge of your seat.
I'm on the edge of my seat, but it's only because I'm short and I can't reach the microphone.
Okay, the scene that was tense, I was like, ah! I was covering my eyes. It was when the sexy Indian... waitress worker,
ooh,
whose name is Anya.
Shweta?
Anya oh. Gupta.
Anya
Gupta.
Okay.
I was on the edge of my seat when she told her Coco-like backstory. I was like, is she trying to steal Coco's thunder? What's going on? She's telling me stuff about her her college. That, oh, Dad, it's not going to... I mean, when you steal from Coco, who wasn't in this episode,
mm-hmm.
you steal from God. And so I was like, where is this going? Does this mean Coco doesn't exist anymore? If somebody else can tell a pointless backstory?
Have they crossed the streams?
You know what's really nice, though, is that, you know, I've been complaining more and more, and you've missed this, Mork. The scenes between Palmer and Coco have gotten creepier and creepier.
What?
But
why are you complaining about that?
Well, I don't know. I said I thought maybe it's because it's not me, but it's creepy because it's creepy. Just creepy.
Okay.
But they, as if to give a middle finger/tongue worm to me,
whoa,
they thought, hey, you think that's creepy? How about we have Zach cop a feel on Nora? And in your face, catfish. That's what they said, in your
ouch,
face.
Ouch.
I will, as someone who was very recently 10 years old.
Yeah.
I can identify, I can relate to Zach going for it. But Nora, she sort of upped the ante later on when she was
right,
inspecting the underoos, which I felt if you know,
when
someone was making a pass at me, then you don't just avoid any talk about undergarments.
You don't pick out your lover's lingerie. That's what Nora was doing.
I suppose she was. It was it's a very intricate courting ritual.
Well, I want to get our listeners paying attention because we're going to reenact that scene later between Nora and Zach. And let me tell you, you're going to want to turn down the lights, maybe light up some candles, get in the bath. This is going to be hot.
Drink a little. Imagine you're watching The Kite Runner and drink a little white wine.
Right. Light up the patchouli.
All right, so now, guys, in an episode this great, you wouldn't think there were any spilt milk, any spoiled milk scenes. So does anybody want to man up and just kind of, you know, we have to do it because we always do it. Were there any scenes that were spoiled milk or spilt milk?
You know, I just to throw a wild one out there.
Okay.
It continues to dominate my spoiled milk scenes is F. Seems to have a place in my heart when it comes to spoiled milk scenes.
Well, F, he was great this episode. Mm-hmm. He was very effective.
He was actually better than he's been in the past.
Effective.
Yes, he was effective. I continue to not know what the hell is going on with him and Nora. But I will say this. The last scene, when he shoots the guy, is pretty cool. But then he pulls the guy's phone and is like, aha. Stoneheart, of course. The guy's got a Stoneheart phone.
You expect
phone.
The guy to go down to D.C.? You expect the guy to go down to D.C. on his own dime, pay for his own burner cell phone?
Yeah.
No. He's working. He's getting sent down there. He's on.
Right.
He's got his Stoneheart pass on the Acela train.
Right, the Stoneheart wallpaper on his phone.
It's a company phone. What do you expect?
All right.
If he loses it, where are they going to return the phone?
Okay, now, Mork...
That's why Stoneheart is so profitable. They don't waste money on lost cell phones.
Now, Mork, that must mean that wasn't your spoiled milk scene. Did you have one in this episode that you gave a relatively high 7 to?
Gosh. It's hard. I didn't love the scene at the... I don't know what that was. Some sort of center with the underoos. Whatever that was set. I wasn't clear.
That was the Red Hook Underwear Center.
The Red Hook Underwear Center. So
no, that is the... She may have moved now, but that's the poor woman's Elizabeth Banks,
right,
who was, you know, running her crew in Staten Island.
Yeah, it's
but
Justine.
But now has expanded.
Justine, right.
She's expanded. The mayor. The mayor asked her to spread it around, spread her ideology, the way she does things around, as long as he gets credit for it. So
all
now
right,
she's taken over.
Yeah, and once
she's stringing up bodies all over the place.
Once she clears up Red Hook, she's gonna have to go to Manhattan. Ooh, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, everything that happens in Manhattan starts in Red Hook.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's tough. You know, it's really tough to you open up off Broadway, and sometimes it doesn't translate. So we'll see if she can make it in the big city.
Okay, so my spoiled milk scene.
What? You have one?
No.
It's hard to
come
believe.
On. You win 2 out of 2.
I'm just listen. It's hard. But the thing that I didn't like is because the scene was too short. Like, I love scenes that, you know, really delve in deep. But sometimes, you know, because of special effects, they have to cut a scene short.
Right.
And so when F and Lee were arguing about the nondisclosure, I was a bit confused. And I've studied pre-law. And so I was a bit confused as to why they didn't really show F. He was treating it like a cell phone from Stoneheart Group contract where you just scroll down to the bottom and say, I agree to the contract.
Oh, you wanted him to read out most of the paragraphs.
Right.
And the party of the first part dealing with the party of the second part.
Right. It would have been more thrilling than his sex scene. And so.
Well, certainly for her.
Hey, now. Poor Lee.
We don't know, to be fair, we don't know exactly what happened during that sex scene. So they could have read it.
Oh, they could have read it during the sex scene. They could have read it during,
and that's another reenactment we're going to do later.
Well, what I'm interested in is now to see how much Mork is going to defend F now that F has made a style choice that Mork can identify with.
A three-piece suit.
A bloody shirt.
9mm handgun with him at all times.
All right.
Constantly drinking scotch at the worst time ever.
Oh, but he had an old fashioned tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but, you know, he was in D.C.
Old fashioned, do you get it with bourbon or brandy? Let's hear it.
It's rye.
No, well, some places. I was actually at a riverboat casino in Kansas City. They made it with bourbon, believe it or not.
What about brandy, though?
I'm just saying.
What?
It's so old fashioned. They don't.
Did they not cover this in pre-law?
No, it's bartenders don't know how to make it anymore. So you order it, and they're like, what?
What All right, guys. What the hell is going on?
Guys, we got to get to the great feedback. Listeners, the fact that you are tweeting at us during the show, we love it. Keep it going. It is so important. And probably our number one feedback team is the great podcast, the great girls at Geek Girl Soup. They love this show, and they're always tweeting at us. And guys, tweet out the hashtag #GotYourMilk or #GotYourMilkPodcast, and we'll read it here during the show. So Geek Girl Soup, they said, number one, they said, Zach is even more annoying now that F's out of town. Did you agree with that? Was Zach 2.0 better or worse with his father gone?
I actually think he's better. Like, he was sort of said something nice to Nora.
Yeah, he did.
And also he's like, while my dad's out of town, I can make a move on his girlfriend because there seemed to be a little tough there. Actually, I thought he was better than he's been in the past.
Oh, okay. How about you, Mork?
Yeah, I think he was properly motivated. I think he was swooping in for the kill.
They also said, they tweeted out, they said, we have a new master and we lose another wig. Which is sadder, to lose the Box Trolls master version or to lose Bolivar's wig? He's still got BPS, Bolivar Penis Syndrome, but he doesn't seem like he's going to rock the wig anymore. So which was sadder to lose?
I'm going to miss the late Joan Rivers. I mean...
Which was Box Troll,
Box Troll
version of the master. Okay.
God bless.
You know what? The wig I'm going to miss the most still, rest in peace, is the one we spent so much time watching go away, which was F's wig.
All right.
There seemed to be a certain glorification of it going away.
Yeah, okay. We also got great tweets from Rami134. He's at The Kindly Boy on Twitter. And he said... When the advisor before the show, here in the States, there's a little slate that comes up that says sexual situations. He immediately thought of Coco and Palmer. And then he said, you know, after the episode, he was like, BT Dubs, F's buddy, hashtag great wingman. So that is completely true. R.I.P. Robert, R.I.P. Lee.
That is so sad. I wish our viewers could have been there for every time. I believe Moore called out about six times, which were sexual situations.
Right. Palmer including and Eichhorst.
Palmer and Eichhorst. One of them had to do with Cetrachian.
With Cetrachian, you never know. That's all I'm saying.
You know, he puts in his eye worms, which I'm not even sure that Mork is aware of.
Oh, I know.
He puts in his eye worms and he's good to go.
Who isn't?
Now, Romy134 loved the show, but he did have this point. He tweeted out, he said, I was going to be less critical of the show by ignoring logic. He was going to watch the show and not think about logic at all. Then they went to that delivery takeout. Romy134, come on.
Yeah, people get hungry in New York City.
If you're working at the Tandoori Cafe.
That woman was like, hey, I need $100 worth of Indian food. Although someone said that includes your $50 whatever, and I didn't hear it. What was the $50?
$50 delivery fee because she's a former wannabe pulmonologist, and doctors get paid more than regular delivery
people. I think it included a celebrity appearance from the Silver Angel wrestler.
Oh!
All right, guys, we have rambled on long enough. If people want to tweet at us their thoughts on the strain, how can they reach you, Mork, on Twitter?
Well, they can reach me by tweeting at me at extraordinary, which is okay. Extraordinary with the W before the R.
All right. How about you, Catfish?
They can hit me up at CJGman67, your 67th favorite CJGman. I can't even say it.
Yes, and if you're a little Coco out there who wants a creepy old guy to take you out to nice restaurants while the city burns, tweet at me, Palmer-esque Bubba, and you can reach me at Fit and Trim. That's
you'll notice,
FitTTENTRIM, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
I want to give a shout-out to Sweet T, who sat in for the last 2 weeks.
He was the greatest.
At Ultra Production, and he and I decided after Dutch's slow-motion hair flip that we would leave Coco to you and Palmer, the old dudes, and that Sweet T and I would be the ones fighting over Dutch.
Oh, okay. Was Dutch even in this episode that we just watched, guys?
In my mind, she was.
Right. In my mind, Coco went to D.C.
No, Fett was there. Oh, okay. But she was not. She must have been. She wasn't ashamed enough to give anything to Fett tonight. Now, I begged.
Begged.
While you were gone, I begged for people to give us some reviews.
On iTunes.
On iTunes. No one would, though.
Oh, please. Listeners, go to iTunes, give us a written review. It's nice to give stars, but please give us a written review because that helps us find more listeners. And it helps the listeners find us as we stergoy it up one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, let's start this episode of Identity. And I'm not sure we still know the identity of this almost super Sturgoy, this guy who we're calling Sturgoy Team 8. He is brought out of in an old fish truck. You know, everybody has the bread truck for our heroes, and he's in the shrimp, the fish truck. But what's interesting, probably most interesting, we can tell this guy's a Sturgoy. He has got the necticles. He's bald.
Is it daytime?
Right.
It's Michael Stipe.
It's Michael, tall Michael Stipe, and he is in the daytime. The sun doesn't kill him, just like the sun didn't kill the master. It doesn't even seem to burn.
Hurt the master. It doesn't even seem to bother this guy. We could also call him Strabone if you wanted.
Strabone. I like Strabone.
How about Strabipe?
Now, what do you guys think of his sexy assistant here who drove the truck and then gets him in a brand new Cadillac?
She's, I like her. She's sort of, A View to a Kill, Grace Jones.
The only other time, if I'm remembering this show correctly, the only other time we see Strabone is when he goes and sees the Ancient Ones, and this was one of your favorite scenes.
Yeah,
Mort,
he just drops
where
the mic
he
on him.
He just totally.
He gets him, but he does ask for help in the daytime.
Right, he asks for. Let's go ahead and have some prognosticating here. He asks for some humans to help him, and is that going to be Gus? Is it going to be Fett? Like, who do you guys imagine is he going to get hooked up? Will he get hooked up with, wait for it, Chloe O'Malley?
Well, I mean, I think they're saving that for the season finale.
We need Chloe O'Malley, the little lust kid.
I think it's going to be Gus that they hook him up with, because after all, the only other person who knows about Sturgoy Team 6 is Satrakian, and remember, he's keeping all kinds of secrets this season.
Okay.
Even he's keeping secrets from Mork that Mork doesn't even know about.
That's a good point. Now, Mork could know the secrets if he watched some of those episodes.
Guys, like I said, I can't tell you how much I enjoy those episodes.
Okay,
and all about the interesting things that I saw.
Strabone, he seems to diss the Ancient Ones, and he says you should have stopped him 70 years ago. Is that implying World War II?
Like, right, if not seven centuries ago.
Right. That
he seems to be fixated on seven for some reason.
So, guys, I have to admit, I've been spoiled. I think I know who Strabone is. Do you guys want to guess about who Strabone is and why he has special powers?
I think somehow he's connected to the owners of the Tandoori restaurant.
Ooh, that
he's
would...
got a giant chicken bone coming out of his back sheath.
I think that Strabone is the guy that injured the Silver Angel in that movie.
Ooh, that'd be very good. It'd be a way to tie all these disparate storylines together. So that's all we see of Strabone.
Right, but okay, so what is your idea then?
Well, sadly, I know, so I would have to make something up.
How do you know?
I was in Ireland.
Spoiler alert.
I was in Ireland, and my aunt watches The Strain. I sent out this great tweet about how my aunt...
Right, on a 14-inch computer monitor.
Right, so did they get... Let me say, they get all American TV shows over there. I was like, you know, when the few times when you're not tourism, being a tourist and you're sitting at their house, I was like, I want to watch some Irish TV. And they didn't want to. They were like, you know, let's watch these good American shows. Like The Strain.
You know, I noticed we haven't seen any written reviews from your aunt in Ireland.
Right, that is a real good point. She is not going to iTunes and giving us a written review. Folks, if you go to iTunes and give us a written review, I will personally name you an aunt or an uncle, you or a cousin. You will be, I will put family tree.
So she knew? This is the story. So you were watching it in Ireland and she said,
No. She watched the end of this episode and she was like, who is this guy? So I went and looked at like an AV club. I'm not sure it was AV club, but I went and looked at a recap and they mentioned who this guy was. And so you got to be careful about recaps.
Oh, wow. Not a recap that Mork's involved with, because he doesn't even know what happened in the show he just watched.
Well, I don't think I'm the only one in that regard.
Okay, so then our next storyline we need to follow is it's snowing in D.C. So what did you guys think of Robert, the guy from the State Department, who gets home late from a night of partying and he's throwing up outside of his house? And who does he see but a guy without a coat on in this cold D.C. area? But F. Oh, or is it John? I'm so confused.
It's Jonathan Crowley. Let's call him Judgmental Jonathan Crowley.
Ooh. And so he invites him in, and his buddy here, Rob, seems like a good guy. He's willing to overlook the fact that F has got a lot of suspicious things going on. Number one, F is wanted for murder. He's got blood on his jacket. Later, he finds out about the head of the CDC, quote-unquote, falling off a train, and yet Rob is a good guy.
Right. He's concerned about the gun, and this is a whole Chekhov situation.
Yeah.
The gun is here. It gets fired later.
Right. And so did you guys, I have to admit, because I think the show is trying to stall, so I imagine that this would just be a pointless side tangent as opposed to what it is, thrilling TV.
Well, I will say this about it. I guess the only thing you could say at this point is at least F appeared to be dealing with two separate people who weren't trying to screw him.
Right.
Figuratively. At least one of them screwed him physically. But I thought that either one of these people would turn him in. So unlike last week when they tried to convince me five different times that F was going to get caught and I didn't believe any single time, I was worried that one of these two people might turn him in. Actually, happy. I'd like to see F out of the show.
Okay. Well, did either you guys suspect Lee, the sexy scientist who has quite a connection with F? Either you guys suspect her as being evil, because I was watching the whole show thinking one or two might be part of the Stoneheart group evilness.
I don't believe that anybody in Washington, D.C. is evil, so no, I did not think so.
Now, see, that's what I'm saying. I thought that that either one of them would be evil and turn them in.
Well,
and it
neither
turned
were.
Out that neither were. And so what did they get for that? This is what happens when you know F. What happens when you know F?
Oh, yeah, they were both shot to death.
You get F'd.
Yeah.
So, well, help me out then. Let's just, you know, Romy 134 doesn't want to think about logic, but let's think about this. How did the Stoneheart group find out about F? How did they trace him to Robert? How did it all go down? Where was the fly in the ointment? Who was the...
Well, she went to her bosses and said, she's got to get it together for them to produce this. Also, he talked to his buddy. Talked to a military dude. Either one of those people in business or high up in the military. I imagine Palmer's got connections and is even though he's got things locked down, has got his feelers out to see if there's any leaks in the dam.
Yeah, I just have a hard time. What did you guys think of the political situation where people in Congress are getting in fisticuffs on the Senate floor? This isn't the House of Parliament. This is America, damn it.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to convince us that it's as serious as we imagine it is, even though in so many ways they don't show us that it's really that serious. Right. That people are still, in other words, in the same situation where it's like, hey, don't make me deliver anything. And the guy's like, look, you got to pay for your, what? If it was really bad, the guy would be like, shut it down. I'm not sending my only daughter out there to deliver some damn food.
In his defense, his daughter is not married. It's time for her to meet a nice young man, and maybe he's just trying to help.
Well, Lee Thomas does seem like she's going to help. Did you guys believe the sparks between these two sexy actors?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, not for a second. And that is why I thought that she was scamming him, because they had zero chemistry.
And that's interesting because they both seem to be scientists who would be good at chemistry.
I didn't know whether to give you a laugh track or amazing. Applaud.
Okay, all right. So this storyline...
Bubba.
Yeah.
I missed you.
That is true. You did. Thank you. So this storyline ends up with a gunfight at the OK Corral. And so certainly not everybody can be in on it. So why doesn't F call the cops? They're gonna use the evidence to prove that the Stoneheart guy is the one who shot Robert and shot Lee, and that his gun is who was used to kill the Stoneheart guy. It's obvious.
But after, that's the one thing I can believe. After you've been tracked down like this and you see all the things that Stoneheart has done,
yeah.
I can imagine that you don't know where you could go. Where I would go would be to a newspaper. That's the only people I would trust a newspaper before I trust the cops.
Oh, okay. All right. But I think we're sort of missing the larger point here, which is if you are seconds away from ripping off all your clothes and bumping uglies with
speak for yourself.
Delicious 40-something.
Lee, yeah.
And you walk in, you find a dead body, and then your would-be partner is shot to death in front of your eyes. That would haunt me.
I don't know if it would haunt you in the moment because you're trying to live.
Yeah, I don't know.
The next time it rolled around, I'm just saying, I think...
So you're saying Nora's going to have to pay for this.
Someone will. I think from now on, F's going to have to wear two kinds of protection. One will be made out of Kevlar. That's all I'm saying.
Well, do we want to talk about this? How could F betray Nora so bad? Are they setting up F to die because he had sex like in a horror film? If you have sex, you die.
You know, I felt like coming. I kind of talked about this with Sweet Tea the last couple episodes.
Right.
Is that I can't figure out what they're doing with them this season. They're not together. We don't sense that, like, even though they're in this situation that they're having tension personally. Like, it doesn't. It's almost as if they're kind of ignoring everything that's gone down, so it's kind of weird.
Nora loves F, and she's acting as mother to his friggin' child while he's out getting drunk and getting busy.
Do you know why she's doing that? Because she was raised by her mother.
Well, she was raised by Nora's mom. R.I.P. Exactly. Nora's mom. You know,
it's too bad, because I could see a double date with Zach and Nora and F and Nora's mom.
That could still happen. Spoiler alert, that could still happen.
All right, so you know you guys actually have hands, too. Especially you, Mark. Really, you actually have hands.
Believe me, I know he has hands. I'm sitting right next to him.
I'm scared. Sometimes when I watch the show, I get scared.
All right, so do we want to predict what's going to happen with F? Is he now in D.C. all alone with no hope? What's he going to do?
I think he's going to lose the formula.
Well, let's remember this, is that when he brought the formula in, he brought one in the urn, and then he brought another vial in his medicine bag. You may have missed that, Mork, when you were watching. You had to watch closely to see that.
I can't tell you how much I loved that scene.
You sure can't. Okay, so... So, all right, so that's it for Team F this week. Are you guys happy with how it ended up? I'm happy because we have two new characters introduced, two new characters dead. We don't have to worry about them ever again, despite the great, great chemistry between F and
F. They keep throwing up things with F, and I guess I'm supposed to believe that eventually he's going to achieve some sort of success, but... I just I'd like to like the lead guy of a show, right. And I just don't like this character.
All right. Well, I would say she, you know, let's all swipe right for Lee, R.I.P. Lee.
Okay.
All right, so you know what, guys? It is time. I'm feeling a little hungry. And when I'm hungry, I know there's only one restaurant in all of, I'm going to assume, Manhattan that I like to
eat. The Tandoori Palace?
You've heard of it.
I've heard of it. It's the only place that still delivers.
It is the best. So in there is a guy who has really had a bizarre turn. He was working with Strigoi Team 7. He had a mission. Then when they died, he ran away. And then has been hanging out at the Tandoori.
He just hangs out at the Tandoori Palace.
Ever since.
Let's talk about the reception he gets at the Tandoori Palace.
He hangs out in the kitchen. He's such a regular.
Well, let's just say this. Angel doesn't like him.
No.
Shweta's parents don't like him.
Will you stop? Catfish.
What's her name again?
Jesus Christ, Catfish. We're going to refer to this actress. Uh-huh. We're not going to... not pretend we don't know Indian characters' names as if we're the all F as white as F. It is Anya Gupta. Her
Anya.
Name is Anya Gupta.
Anya Gupta. Friggin', well, listen, I'll say this.
Send your hate.
Sweet Tea and I had a conversation for like 5 minutes whether we at first thought she was actually Indian.
Right.
So Anya's the only one that likes him. Anya's parents hate him.
Right.
Angel hates him for some strange reason.
But
he still decides to hang out there.
Right, and he still just keeps bothering this Angel character. And, you know, I feel like since I've been so tough on you for knowing names, I think we got to get his name right, and that his name is Angel Guzman Hurtado.
Yep, that's him.
Brilliant insight, as always. You could have just said, I don't know, Mark, and it would have
He knows who he is. So this guy, and again, I'm still confused why this guy refuses to admit who he is. I don't know what the point of that whole thing is.
Well, is he embarrassed because he starred in these cheesy movies and now he's washing dishes? He doesn't want to know a star like him has fallen so far.
I guess, but I can't imagine that he was really... I mean, I would be proud if somebody came up and said, my God, I'm your biggest fan. I'd be like, okay, yeah, great. I mean...
At least he's got his priorities in order during this horrible, horrible vampire zombie apocalypse.
And so Anya, she has really taken to my boy, my bruh, Gus. And she says, you know what, you are attacking Angel. He's not hearing any of it. But let me bring you downstairs to Angel's apartment. Let's, you know... invade his privacy.
And this is how much of a fan of Angel Gus is.
Right.
She's taking him down here where they're alone and it's quiet, and he's like, yeah, let me show you my favorite part of this movie.
Right. She wants to show Gus Angel's true, wait for it, identity. Hello.
Oh.
Perfect episode name.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. So then, of course, her dad comes up. And her dad is like, you know what? Somebody's got to deliver this GD food. If you're not studying for college like you're supposed to be during a vampire apocalypse, you better be earning your keep. And so she decides to go. Gus is like, hey, girl, bring me. And Angel's like, she's not going anywhere with a gangbanger who has tats.
Right. And then Gus is like, hey, bruh, let her decide.
And so,
we've got a cliffhanger until they show up again. And then what happens when they show up again?
They
Bork,
all.
Do you remember this part?
I do. It reminded me of my honeymoon.
Oh, great. Where you and your best man and your wife showed up.
All right. And so, guys, it is time. It is time to suffer as we go through my edge of my seat scene. And let's find out about Anya Gupta's backstory. You ready, guys?
Mm. Oh,
you know, she's studying pre-med. Organic chemistry and physics. You know what? She was going to be...
a pulmonologist.
Yes, but you know what? Save your breath. And so it was all so great, but now instead of being a lung doctor...
Well, but the thing is, she didn't really want to be a pulmonologist.
Oh, really?
No, it was because her cousin is or somebody, and they
right,
make good
money.
Her
mom's cousin was a pulmonologist. And so instead... She was like, well, they make good money, I'll just do it. But she thought once she got through med school, she could make her own choices.
Now, by the time you get to med school, I mean, your choices are pretty much, I don't know, pulmonologist or heart doctor cardiologist. I mean, you know,
it's really just the one or two choices. That's all you got. Yeah.
All right, so we get to this wonderful apartment complex, and Gus allows her to go first out of the elevator. He's like, there might be Strigoi here.
No, he checks it first. No,
Angel's like, you, what a gentleman.
He's trying to not put it on too thick.
And these guys, finally, it kind of makes sense that these guys don't like each other. But what Mork's not aware of is the minute these guys met, they didn't dislike each other so much that it seemed like they knew each other previously. They right. have a real hostile relationship for each other. And it's not that sort of funny hostile thing that I try to pretend that Bub and I have. Right. It's real hostility.
Well, do we want to talk any more about the $50 tip? The $50 delivery fee. That is an awful lot.
Are they hiring at the Tandoori restaurant? At the
right.
Tandoori
I think
Palace?
It's better to deliver than become a doctor.
Could I fill out the application online?
And so this apartment complex, it's not Strigoi. And it looks like Angel and Anya have never seen Strigoi before because they, you know, they are shocked and scared. And so Angel, he bull rushes. He does a wrestling move against this female Strigoi. And then Gus kills her with his silver axe. But Angel is not doing too
now,
well.
Now, Bubba, you have to tell me exactly the chemical processes that are happening here. Every time he tomahawks them, there's like a steam effect that comes out of the brain.
Right. Well, I thought you were talking about a different chemical effect, a chemical effect, the chemistry that's happening between Anya and Gus. And so what I was going to say is the formula is MOTHODOFLOVE. It's a method of modern love.
Okay. Instead, can you explain why
Wait, what?
When the Strigoi have their head sliced, that steam comes out of their
well,
head?
Well, it's the silver burning the worms. You know, the,
okay.
Silver
you.
Burns them. And so that's, it may just, believe it or not, be smoke. Smoke on the worms, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. So that's all we see of them in this episode. Any predictions for what might be happening? Is it possible Angel and Gus will be the Ancient Ones human fight team?
I can't imagine that Angel can do much of anything.
Well, what Angel can do is reveal to Gus that he is, in fact, Gus's father.
Oh, God, that would be great. That would be so good.
That's what I assumed when I first saw them because of the instant hostility they had between them. But it turns out not to be the case.
No, well, are you sure? We don't know. Are you sure?
He was a big fan of him. I guess it could be, but I don't know what it would add to anything.
Right.
And he kind of looks like the brother and the best friend. Maybe he donated some, you know, special sauce and hit up the whole neighborhood in Queens.
All right, guys. So let's, any other thoughts about Team Gus and Angel and Anya?
Well, I mean, I think Gus is going to go back and help Strabone. I believe.
I hope he doesn't Strabone on you.
Speak for yourself.
Hey now, you know, sexual situations. That's all it is. So we got two more storylines in this episode, and they kind of the storyline of Palmer, poor man's Christoph Waltz, and Bolivar. So. We found out from our boy Fitzwilliams that Palmer bought up all these things, and it's part two. It's going to be next week when we're going to find out what the reason was he was buying all these places was. But that's going to be part two. So he bought up all these industrial spaces, and he's converting
and it's
them.
Funny because he bought those up, and he couldn't use any of those when he had to emergency buy one earlier for the kids in the loim.
Yeah, that made no sense.
As you call them, the loim.
Right, and so help me out. One of the problems with this is the human workers who are doing this. And so you couldn't have Strigoi build this? Is why doesn't the master just, he's got all these Strigoi. Why not just have
and
them
And he seems to have power over them.
Right, he can give them memory back. And so as long as he has a couple of friggin' welders, I'm looking in the background of the scene trying to see exactly what these Strigoi were doing.
You don't need to worry about industrial accidents.
Right.
It's been 24 days since anyone hurt themselves, but they've all been dead in that time, so.
So we've got Palmer and Eichhorst. And Palmer and Eichhorst have a very poor relationship, mainly because Palmer doesn't want to deal with Eichhorst. He wants to deal with the master and make the master honor the agreement. Palmer wants to live forever. He's been battling death for 50 years. If you get a contract, master, you know, honor that contract. I'm on Team Palmer.
And yet, poor man's Christoph Waltz makes a good point in that It's the master is not one of those guys that you kind of push into a corner.
Nobody puts the master in a corner.
That is right.
But, and then I-Course is also interested. He's like, you don't have any more of those UV light traps, do you? Any we need to know about? And Palmer was like, I know nothing. And so, do you guys have any guess about what the next phase of this operation is, which is apparently going to hit tomorrow, next week's episode?
I think it's going to involve more of those creepy little kids.
Ooh, you think there's more Loim coming?
Absolutely.
I think
yeah.
That what it is it's going to be a collection of not young, but sort of older, established music stars like Bruce Springsteen and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
I really think...
Madonna. It's going to be them.
I really think...
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
I could see Carly Simon. You know, you're so vain. Really, you know, the veins kind of, the worms kind of look like veins in you. It would work for me. And the only way they're going to have more hits is if they get loimed. And so, guys, we end the episode where Eichhorst has brought Bolivar down to the new box.
Now, when you think about it, with the eventual
and
plan
I
that the master had,
yeah.
Is what I would like to think about is it has to be funny is like the master calls poor man's Christoph Waltz is like, come, tonight is the night. Yes, master, I'll be there. Don't forget to bring Bolivar. Wait, do I have to bring? Why am I bringing Bolivar? Bolivar is important, but I don't.
But you're gonna put the worms in me. I mean, why
you? Just you and Bolivar together.
I stand ready to receive your infinite power.
Yes, as long as Bolivar is also there, just to watch.
Ah, master, I stand before your nakedness, and I'm ready to. Puke worms
yes.
in my mouth.
Yes, close your eyes.
I'm just imagining the worms. I know they're coming any minute.
Okay, the worms are now coming.
Oh,
they seem to be missing you.
Wait a minute. Wait, master, how could you? You're calling him your son, but what about me?
Sorry, Bolivar just cock-blocked you.
What about my hit song? Starlig 84. It's the best place in the world.
This actually makes Eichhorst, sort of a tragic figure here.
Did you feel sympathy for poor man's Christoph Waltz?
I think he's the only non-person that I feel sympathy for.
I felt sorry for him, too, until I remembered our discussion earlier, and that is, it's not like when you have the master come inside of you, it's like you get his power. It's more like you get obliterated by the master.
Yeah.
He takes over everything.
Now, do you think on a basic cable show you can say, the master came inside me?
Well,
I mean, if you watched the end of the episode, you pretty much saw that.
Is that what you would call, is that the equivalent of French kissing? Is the master French?
Yes.
Always filling dead air there, Mark.
Thank you so much. I think he's half French and half German. Because he knows how to make love and war.
Uh-oh. Okay, and so is that the end we're going to see of the master? Boy, what big ham hocks of a backside the master had.
Well, remember we talked earlier about the master taking... We maybe thought the master would take over someone who hadn't already been Strigoid.
Right.
But he ended up taking over someone who'd already been destroyed, Strigoid, who's already rotted a little bit.
Yeah.
But it seems like the master can last a long time unless he's exposed to sunlight.
Well, does this mean Bolivar isn't going to be hanging out with Palmer anymore? They had such a connection. Their time together this season.
They did. It was really beautiful. Oh, look, there's some protesters.
Drive away slowly. All right, so guys, are you happy? Are you happy that we have a new master? Yes or no?
I'm happy because I feel like this means we're going to see him more. I don't think we don't see the master enough. I want to see him sort of pulling the strings, so to speak. He's the creepier, more scary one. He's scarier than poor man's Christoph Waltz. So if this means we get to see him actually on the show more, that would be great.
What about you, Mork?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of good memories with Bolivar, and I think he's going to take it to the next level.
Now, I wonder if they knew...
They knew.
When they started this show, before the first season, that it was Bolivar who was going to take over the Masters. So they told the guy, look, you're only going to be in like four episodes in and out, but eventually you're going to be the man.
Well, this is a great time to remind our listeners, we have not read the book series which this TV show is based on.
Which is true, but also there's some things that in the show that aren't even in the book, so they could have
like
changed
Dutch.
That.
Yeah, like Dutch.
So they could have changed it anyway.
I hope Coco has like multiple chapters just from her perspective.
I know for sure. I can't imagine that Coco is in the damn
book. How about Anya? You think my girl Anya is in the...
I think the Silver Angel is... I think the entire second book is about the Silver Angel.
The Silver Angel in medical school.
Yeah, thank you, finally. All right, so let's get to our most thrilling storyline of the night, and it begins with the most thrilling bit of news ever. Back in Red Hook, Brooklyn, Fitzwilliams meets Zach. When Zach met Fitzwilliams, I think it's the greatest moment ever.
Now, we are going to have a wager on this. And tonight is the night we're going to have to do it because it's our last night. I believe it's Fitzwilliams singular.
Okay.
And when this is the only time, by the way, that we see Fett this episode, which, you know, more Fett means more fun. Less Fett means less fun.
Oh, Fett means fun in Polish.
All right. But Fett is... Did Fett understand who Fitzwilliams was? Because when Zach's like, who's this guy? Fett said, yeah, good question.
I think he knew he was there when Fitzwilliams bailed him out. Yeah.
Saved his life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. That's a good point. And so one guy who didn't want to have his breakfast with Fitzwilliams was Zach 2.0.
He's also, besides being a whiner, turns out he's a racist.
Yeah. He's like, another new character? I'm going to leave. And so what did you think? It is Fitzwilliams singular. You win on that catfish.
Finally, something.
Can you remember his first name?
I assume with a last name like Fitzwilliam, his first name is Seamus?
It's Reggie, catfish. Click guess.
All right, Reggie, Seamus, same.
Same deal.
All right, so what did you guys think of this bonding moment between Zach and Nora?
He's got such a sly smile on his face, and then he moves in for the hard hug.
Well, let's be honest. Yeah. Girls like bad boys, and so Zach has been playing up the bad boy thing. He's going back. They also like bad boys with weaknesses, so he's pretending he needs his inhaler. And so Nora comes up, and this blew me away. She said, did your dad say anything to you about when he was going to be back? And I'm thinking to myself, Nora, he didn't tell you anything about when he was going to be back? This is crazy.
He didn't want her to worry.
He was going to leave Zach when Nora wasn't even there. And you know what? You're fine. I know you tried to run away once, but no worries.
Yeah. No, it's not a problem.
All right. And so then, guys, let's just
say this. In this brief scene, Nora shows better parenting skills than Zach than F has in the entirety of the show.
All right, so guys, we're going to read the closed captioning. I will be Zach because this is the anger is a move I pull on women a lot. Mork, why don't you read Nora since she's so close to your favorite character?
Absolutely.
And then Catfish, I want you to chime in with the stage direction because people can't see this. So we're going to do the scene pretty much verbatim. So Nora, take it away.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk right in.
No, I do that part.
Right, here we go.
Well, Nora sits on the bed seductively.
Well, it could be a couple of days. It could also be quite a bit longer than that.
He goes on work trips all the time. When I was little, he went to Africa for like 6 months. And I mean Africa, the part of Animal Kingdom at
Nora
Disney World.
Nora strokes his hair seductively.
That's not my hair.
You're not little anymore.
No, parts of me are little, and then parts of me have gotten really, really big. How are you?
He leans in.
I'm okay. I'm all right. Yeah.
He looks at her slyly, reaches in, hugs her super, super hard.
Can you feel my heart beating?
Yes, I can.
Nora cries. Zach is also leaking.
I can feel the underwire of your bra, Nora.
Zach, you're too young to motorboat.
Listen, I have a great tool for fighting Mr. Goy in my pants.
Yeah, Zach, go get me some cigarettes.
Mom would always let me reveal my tool.
Yeah, it's time to get some cigarettes, Zach.
Zach walks out with Nora's bra in his hands.
Victory!
What Zach doesn't know is I always carry an extra bra in my back pocket for such an occasion.
And scene. Oh, my God. That was almost, and I say almost as hot as the scene we got on the show.
Sexual situations.
And so that wasn't the only sexual scene. In fact, we're going to jump right to it. And so now, because I did Zach so well, I think it's somebody else's turn to, you know, they keep replacing Zach. So on our podcast, we'll keep replacing Zach. And so we have this great kind of underwear flashing scene here in Red Hook between Nora and Zach. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, this time, Mark, you're great at Nora because she's so close to his mom. And then Catfish, why don't you be Zach this time? And we'll really get to the heart of the matter, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen.
On.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take you now to the Red Hook, Brooklyn Recovery Center. We go there and we see that Nora and Zach are checking out boxes of stuff that have been left behind by the people who've died.
Excuse me, officer. Could you tell me where I could find some young boys' underwear?
She shows him some underwear with the word goal on it.
Yo, those underwear, that's too small for me. I got a big un.
Right, me neither.
A cop comes in and says, have at it, kiddo.
How are you doing, Justine?
I'm getting through it. I'm here working at Red Hook. It's tough for a woman to make this infection free. It really is, but I'm going to do it. Ooh. Hey, who's that kid reaching in his pants in the back?
Oh, yeah.
I want to show you how big it is.
Please leave the police officer
alone.
Oh, man,
these are really cool. They're ladies' underwear.
Zach, what's that sticking out of the word goal in the underwear?
Zach, please leave the policeman alone. Please leave the policeman alone.
I'm trying to get rid of Sturgoy, and you've got a Sturguy who's going crazy for you, girlfriend. Oh, and I can't find a man to date. Am I right, ladies? It's tough.
Also, his mom turned.
I'm now no longer to be seen, even in the background of this scene. I should have run away at this point.
Is that your kid? Is Zach 2.0 your kid, Nora?
Oh, why? Do you want some cigarettes? Zach, go get us some cigarettes.
What makes you think I need cigarettes? The fact that I have cigarette stains on my face?
Some weirdo is putting on a super long coat on me and touching me inappropriately at the same time. Mwah.
Don't worry, kid. It's basic cable.
Okay, and scene. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, the final bit of sexual situations. You know, there's a lot of times that sex happens in the back of a car, and no car is hotter than the back of a squad car. And so, Nora and Zach 2.0, this really made no sense that they were getting back home after dark. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, of course, sure enough.
You haven't been watching this show very carefully.
Oh, now that's a low blow.
I think an accurate blow, though. So here we are. It's cold.
Speaking of low blows, let's go watch Nora and Zach.
All right. So once again, Mork, you're Nora. Catfish, you will be Zach. And I'll be this innocent sweet cop. We're on Walcott Street, Red Hook, Brooklyn.
I'm going to lean right against Nora. Delicious. Also, I need to touch something soft.
Zach, your hair smells like Tandoori Palace. It reminds me of...
Whoa!
Oh, my God! What the heck?
Someone just jumped in front of my police car. This will be a perfect chance for me to give you guys some alone time.
I'm not sure you should do that, and I'm just a dumb kid.
God.
Whoa, somebody just twisted my head off.
Oh, yeah. She's covering my eyes, but I wish she was touching me somewhere lower.
The most dangerous thing of this situation is not all of these goddamn Sturgoy, it's that you might see something. So please, bury your head in my bosom.
Or should I go somewhere? Maybe I should go somewhere.
Nah, don't go anywhere. Okay, go. Okay, go.
Oh, I'm gonna run into this church. Oh my God, is that my mom? Mom, I swear to God, I didn't touch her.
No. And don't tell your mother what I did on her lovely duvet in her bedroom.
Oh no, this damn thing is locked.
It's okay. I belong to this church, and here, come on in.
Oh, I'm so glad you shot the lock.
Oh, yes. I learned that in boarding school. Let's see if they have any tea or cookies, or maybe they have one of those foosball tables in the
basement. Hey, I think that was my mom in a probes. Totally in a probes.
No, don't pay any attention to that.
Meanwhile, back at the Heroes headquarters, the Double H, we see that Fitzwilliams is looking at his class ring, and he's thinking to himself, I did all I could. Hey, Satrakian, I'm sorry that it took me so long to help you with this. Listen, I'm sorry it took me so long for you to help you, Satrakian. Are you speaking Jewish? I don't know what that is.
Shakespeare.
Wait, what? That makes... listen. Oh, hey.
I own the one cell phone that still works in New York City. Hang on.
Good thing, guys. We've been sitting here all day and we've done nothing. Hey, Vasily Fett, what are you doing here?
Grab your weapons. There's a sale at Tandoori Palace.
And so we cut back to the church, and Nora has locked herself in the church, and the mother, formerly known as Sexy Kelly, is sending these people out.
Oh my God, I tripped. I'm such a moron.
Oh, don't worry about it, young man. It's okay.
We see this evil blind kids climbing up and then breaking a church window. That is a sin.
That is not cool. I don't belong to this church, but when I defaced it, I merely shot a lock off of it. You can't kick a stained glass windows. Those things are not cheap.
They open the door, and in come more watchers and walkers, and as well as Kelly, Nora, and Zach 2.0.
Oh, great. You put me in a playroom. Now you're trying to infantilize me.
No, actually, you did that earlier today at the police station when you asked me if
you could... They told me. I'm sorry, they only had a jacket that was that big.
Zach, I'm not buying it. I'm considering giving up to your mother.
Kelly and the evil blind kids sneak into the spider kids. The spider kids are sniffing and smelling, and they smell Zach 2.0's scent. Is this the scent of adulthood? Is this the scent of a young boy becoming a man? His mother.
They are.
This is like the old Spice ads where the mom's like, my son became a man. I'm so sad. Kelly opens the cabinet, but he's not in there. Where has Zach 2.0 and Nora gone?
Fooled ya. All right, let's go. I've got a bookcase. It's not even full of books, but we're going to put it in front of the door, and it's going to save us. It's totally fine. Oh, we don't have anything to read back at the HH, so let's take some books.
Kelly bangs on the door. She wants out.
Oh, my God, Nora. Are you as turned on as I am right now?
Sorry, I was just rifling through Bastard Out of Carolina. I told all my friends I read it, but I actually never did. So I should catch up on it real quick in case they show up to save our lives.
Oh my God, you just pushed me so hard on the floor. I love it when a woman takes charge.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do these
days.
Wait,
hold on.
Nora covers up Zach 2.0's mouth. Part of auto-asphyxiation.
Safe word.
No, I don't believe in that. We're in a church. There's no such thing as a safe word.
Lovely Kelly comes in, as well as the spider kids. They are crawling over the pews, reaching up towards the pulpit, and they can tell something funny is going on. But they will not shoot out their tongue when they see Nora. Oh, no. So Nora shoots one of them in the head. Kelly is about to catch him when who shows up? It's our heroes.
Shakespeare.
Hey, guys, let me help with this. I'm helping out. Nora, Kelly, come here.
Watch out, guys. They're fast, and they're known to kill people.
Yes, I know. Let's get to the truck.
No, I heard what happened in the truck, and I'm not getting in the truck with you, Fett.
Man, I just shot a kid in the head. Awesome. You can't do this in the real world.
Well, not because you quit your job.
Somebody bit my Air Jordans.
Oh, no. This is a perfect time to feel up Nora.
Nobody look.
Oh,
nothing to see here.
Man, I tore my Achilles.
Kelly seems
Mom,
to be...
you're embarrassing me. I'm on a date with my girlfriend.
Hi, Fett.
I can't believe Fett just shot right at those windows and did hit one of them.
Look, I did not tell him to happen to shoot your mother, my only rival for your father.
You know what happens here.
Yeah, I know. I want you to I know it's whatever means necessary. I want you to take me out and don't let me turn.
I know this seems crazy. We just brought you back on the team, but, well, times are tough.
Did anybody tell me to wear some silver shin guards or something? I'd still be alive, you jerks.
Hey, you guys get out of here. I'm going to show you how you can cut a super strong neck with just one swipe. Two words, eye worms.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell my brother.
Where did you guys park? Seriously, why do you have to park so far down the block?
Nora, this is my death soliloquy. Yeah. Give me a minute
here. No, but come on. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm hungry. Did you bring anything to eat?
Night! There goes my head.
I got something for you to eat, Nora. Too soon?
It's, yes. Zach, I'm going to recircumcise you.
All right, end scene. Oh, my God. That was our longest reenactment.
There was a lot going on there.
We had so many characters. It was so true to the TV show. So what do you guys think? What happens now that that Zach has seen his mother, seen these monsters chasing him, that Fitzwilliams is dead? Where do you want to see this story go, Mork?
I would like to see Nora kill Zach.
Whoa.
I want something big.
Because he's been Sturgoid or just cuz?
Just cuz. Yeah, I can say just cuz.
Well, inappropriate. Wow, she's just found love with someone new and you want him to go away already? Times are tough for Nora. Let's not make it too hard for her.
I think it's going to be like it's a modern-day fatal attraction. I'm just, too many things can go wrong. She's seen all the movies. She's going to end it before F gets back into town.
Okay, so guys, you know what? This was as we all agreed, the best episode of The Strain ever. It really left us on a thrilling cliffhanger of, okay, what happens to the non-disclosure agreement now?
Well, first off, does F have any legal counsel in Washington, D.C.? That's the first place to go. Maybe his attorney in New York. In Brooklyn they have an office down there.
Well, let's see how many people, old drinking buddies he knows. Now he's got to find an old drinking buddy who's a doctor or at least a veterinarian to get the bullet out of him.
The bullet went through and through.
Okay. Well,
he's fine.
Okay. What he needs to find is a cell phone charger so he can charge the Stoneheart company phone.
I got to be honest, the one thing I want this season to be is good. And so one thing that I think could help make this show good is at the beginning it implied, like when the Sturgoid or Team 6, RIP, when they met up with Satrakian, and then Satrakian met Gus, and then we're looking for this book, and then somehow this book is not important for the last couple episodes. It wasn't mentioned in this one at all. I want everybody to come together, and everybody, it's okay if everybody has different missions, but it's got to be okay. This is the plan. We're going to do it by A, B, and C. You know, Dutch and Fett, you do A. Nora and F, you do B. Satrakian and, let's say, Gus and Angel, you do C. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I'm all for them splitting up as long as exactly what you said. If everybody has a plan. I mean, their plan right now is send off F off to Washington and hopefully he'll fix it with all his magic mumbo jumbo. Instead, I just want to see Fett kick more ass and say more funny shit.
All right, Mork, what do you think? What are your thoughts as we go to the second half of this season?
I would like to see Satrakian go down in a blaze of glory.
I thought you were saying something about Dutch.
Right.
No.
When she's offended, we know how that goes. All right, guys, once again, let's go round the table. Let's go, everybody, if people want to attack us for the silly things we've said on this show, how can they attack us? How can they agree with us? How can people reach you on Twitter? Let's go.
You can hit me up at CJGman67.
How about you, Mork?
Extraordinary. Extraordinary with the W in front of the R.
And that's on Twitter as well. You can reach me on Twitter. My name is Bubba. You can reach me at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. At Fit and Trim on Twitter. We have got a second half to go. I can't wait until everything is solved.
I can't tell you how I can't wait either.
And I also can't wait for the end of the season.
Wait, no, okay, all right.
Oh, is that a different thing? I thought that's what you meant.
Yeah, no. The words came out, not what you meant,
Catfish. The complete opposite of that.
Yeah, it's not.
You want it every week. All right, so, folks, you can always count on us. You want to know why you can count on us each and every
week? Why?
Because we've
got your mail.
or booze.